so sweet on sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the rain, but I'm not afraid. This rover.
Are you a transsexual and have a story to tell?
Crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
We weren't gonna say anything till I play this little piece of music here. Here's the piece of music.
In California, is it a bank in the middle of Beverly Hills? It's somebody else's name. So if you're dreaming about California, it don't matter at all where you played before. California's a brand new game.
That is probably, and I'm going to guess, the best known Gatlin Brothers song that there is All the Gold in California. He wrote it. He wrote it in, I think, about 1978. He was in Beverly Hills, and he saw a station wagon, a 58 Mercury wagon. I'm telling his stories. He'll be here in a second to tell his own stories, at least on the phone. But he said he looked at that car, and he's thinking, here's a whole family, all their stuff, moving or whatever. And he's thinking, you know, all the gold in California, you're not going to see it because it's in a bank in the middle of Beverly Hills and it's in somebody else's name. And he wrote that down as soon as he could pull over in his rent-a-car. And then a day or two later, he writes the song and becomes a big hit. This is also the 35th anniversary year for the song Houston. You don't know that song, Limey.
I do not.
Pull it up. Boy, we wait for Larry to call. Houston means that I'm one step closer to you. Another big hit. And then there are other hits and other hits and other hits. And most of them, Larry Gatlin wrote. This is another song Limey doesn't know. Houston, crank it up.
Houston. Houston means that I'm one day closer to you. Oh, honey, Houston. Houston means the last day of the tour with you.
Okay. I don't want to drive everybody away who doesn't particularly care for country music, but what you have to realize is this. In the history of country music, there are a handful of people or groups who have made it to superstar status. And Larry Gatlin and the Gatlin Brothers are among that handful. We're not going to go through all the awards. We're not going to go through all the gold records, platinum records, toured all over the world and all that stuff. When Larry comes on here, I've chosen to talk about other things that even hardcore country music fans may not know. Because I'll tell you a little secret here. I don't do this very often. And when I do it, it makes me a little bit nervous because I don't want the person on the other end, and I'll tell him this when he comes on here, to go, oh, no, not that question again. You know, where they're just rolling their eyes. You can almost tell.
Well, you already missed the first joke of the show. I don't think you understand why Dan said I did.
Yeah, I did because of that insert. I didn't miss it.
What was the insert?
Something about transgenders or something?
You're a transsexual and have a story to tell.
And Dan said I do.
And Dan said I do.
Well, okay. I'm so glad our next guest didn't hear that, or he'd refuse to be a part of the show.
That's why I saw
he wouldn't want to even be on
that's
here.
Why I saw Dan was calling him. I wanted to hear him get that in so he wouldn't know how freaky this show really is.
Well, let's make sure Dan did his job and that Larry's actually on the phone. Larry Gatlin, are you on the phone?
Hello?
Larry?
Frank?
Yes. How are you?
That is really fun, Frank O'Pinion. I love that.
Well, I love it, too, because it's made me a living where my regular real name wouldn't make me anything because it's pretty bland and uninteresting.
You're not like Bill White, or you're like Sam Jones or...
Yeah.
Bob Smith.
No, it's not like that. It's even worse. It's just a nondescript sort of name. Larry Gatlin, I'm sure, is your real name. And your brothers are Steve and Rudy, and I know so much more about you than most people do. So here's what I'd like to do. Here's where I'd like to start.
What? We're Patty, Maxine, and Laverne. We're the Andrew sisters is really who we are.
Well, you mentioned sister. I happen to know that in the very early days, your sister LaDonna sang with you and your brothers, correct?
That's true, long time ago. She just decided she didn't want to have to hang out in beer joints and casinos and places like that to make a living. So
And the song, the first big hit, she was actually... on that record, right? Was she not singing on that session? Did we lose Larry?
Oh. I'm here.
Oh, there he is. There you are.
Was your sister not on?
Yes.
She's a broken lady. Was she not on that recording?
She was singing on that record. That's the only single we ever had that she was singing on, but she's a great singer.
Yeah, and then for whatever reason, she decides to go have a family and get out of the deal, and we'll get to that in a minute. Here, the first order of business is... Go ahead.
She's had her own career for 40 years, so we can just move on. I'm happy for her.
Okay.
Know?
What I want to do is what I think is most important, because we want to sell some tickets here. I have the privilege and the pleasure of introducing you this Saturday night at the Family Arena in St. Charles, a suburb of St. Louis, and you will be followed by the great Tanya Tucker, and she'll be followed by the Oak Ridge Boys. So when I got the call to do this, something, by the way, that I have not done in over 25 years, I don't do that stuff anymore. But
you think you can handle it?
Well, we're gonna find out Saturday night. Yes, I think I can. I do.
Well, we can go get somebody with a very bland name like John Smith.
No,
Frank O'Pinion.
No, I think you're gonna be very glad that I'm introducing you Saturday night.
Right.
What I'm gonna do here, Larry, and it won't take long. This won't take more than 15 minutes because I know when you probably start these things, you're wondering how long is this gonna last. I'll tell you it won't last that long.
You mean we ain't on now?
We're on right now, and we're live, and we'll take enough time that by the time I'm finished, I want people who don't think they want to go to this show to want to go to this show when we're finished. And here's where I'd like to start, if you don't mind. First of all, Family Arena, 7 o'clock this Saturday night, 3 shows for the price of 1. If there's a downside, it's that I'm the host, but folks, I'm not going to be on that stage very long at all. Now, I want to tell...
Folks, he's sure not, because if he's out there very long, I'll just go ahead and walk out.
That might be...
Nobody's going to come to see you, frankly.
Well, I already know that. I know that. Now, I want to say something serious to you, and then we'll get started here. I have tremendous respect... Not just for the fact that you're a great songwriter, that you and your brothers are great singers, but that you're a decent human being who hit bottom, had some issues, came out of them, changed his life, and now lives that new life. I watched a YouTube video, and you'll know what this is when I say it. I think it was, I don't remember the year, you were in the hospital and you'd had back surgery. Your doctor was Dr. McCord at Vanderbilt Hospital, correct?
Dr. McCord at St. Thomas Midtown.
Okay. You did a quick video in your hospital gown, and you had the tray in front of you and the IV and the Jell-O or whatever that hospital food is. And at the end, and I watched it, and I thought, well, this is going to be something really funny. It was fun, but it wasn't funny. But what it did do to me is give me a whole new respect for you because of what you said at the end of that video. And what you said essentially was you talked about why you were there. You said that you just had the surgery earlier that day. You could already walk around. The pain was gone. But then you said, let's all pray for the people who can't afford hospital care, who can't afford a surgery like this, don't have insurance. And when you said that, I thought, I think about that all the time, that there are so many people whose lives would be so much better if they had the ability, the money, the wherewithal that some of us who are more fortunate have. And I just want you to know how much I appreciate that you said that, because it tells me that for the superstardom you've experienced, you still think about and you haven't forgotten about the fact that we have a world that's filled with people who don't have that opportunity. So I wanted you to know how much I appreciated that. Now, the other thing I want you to know is here's what you and I don't have in common. I don't write songs. I don't sing. I'm not even quite as good looking as you are. But here's what we do have in common. You had, and I believe you had more than one, microlaryngoscopies. I had one. And you and I had them, I think, in about the same year. Your first one was 91. You tell them what I'm talking about, what that surgery is.
Well, Dr. Robert Ossoff is a brilliant surgeon, and he did some things that had never been done. I had terrible cysts in the middle of my vocal cords, and he actually bent the scalpel a 90-degree angle, then another 90-degree angle, so that he could get back to the place where all of this was. And I tell people, my earthly Jewish physician, Dr. Robert Ossoff, did his part, and my heavenly Jewish physician, the Lord Christ, Dr. Jesus, did his part. Ah! And I can sing all the notes. So I'm very grateful. And, you know, speaking of that surgery, all we've talked about right now is that Larry's falling apart physically.
No, we're not, because what I'm eventually going to get to is how successful it was. And I've met you four times. I don't expect you to remember it, but one time was at a casino in St. Charles, outside of St. Louis, and I came up to you after the show, and I said, you and I have had the same throat surgery, and fortunately, we both recovered. And in my case, I make my living speaking, you make your singing. You have a backup. You can write. You can still write. I don't have a backup. And it scared me to death when I got nodules on my vocal cords that were so big, they had to be sliced off. Sometimes they can laser them off. Mine had to be sliced off.
Right, neither one of mine was lasered. I had four of them. The first one was really very, it was serious. The other two were just, you know, the quarterback's going to get his shoulder hurt. He's going to get a knee. You know, pitcher's going to have Tommy John. They're just, it's called life.
Right.
And back to that thing about the surgeries, Here's what I know. Life down here is imperfect. And there are going to be people, good people, who fall through the cracks. It's just the way it is. I saw a woman one night. She had on a pink terry cloth robe and for some reason had dyed her hair to match the robe. She was sitting in her house robe in slippers and had that little chain that you can plug into the slot machine.
Right.
There's literally a little retractable chain that you can pin on your lapel, yeah, and hook it into the slot machine. And she had a beer and was smoking a cigarette and had an oxygen tank leaned up against the slot machine.
I think I've seen her in the casino.
Now, that person, with all due respect, I don't care who pays her hospital bills. I hope I don't have to. Because that person is... that woman is the result of her choices. There are other people who haven't had a lot of choices, and I will gladly spend, you know, pay my taxes to help them with welfare or with whatever. The people who won't go out, you know, if you're not paying for your insurance because you're buying Marlboros and Budweiser, I'm sorry. I don't have much compassion for that person.
Well,
the folks who don't, I will try to. I had the money through through the insurance that I paid through my union. And if, you know, if I hadn't had the union stuff, I would have paid it myself like my daddy did. We've never taken charity, never taken a handout. So that's, and I still mean that. There are people out there, I prayed for them because they may be one of those who fall through the cracks. I try to be a generous person with God's providence, and I hope they don't fall through the cracks. I am grateful to Dr. Jesus and Dr. Ossoff for my vocal cords, and for Dr. Ossoff, my back, I mean Dr. McCord. I can hit a golf ball farther than I've ever hit it. The bad news is I never did hit it very far. That's not true. I can hit the ball farther than my mom and daddy went on their honeymoon. So I'm very blessed.
I'm going to ask you something, and I'm going to hope nobody else has ever brought this up or asked you this, and I'm going to set it up with this. When Richard Sturban, I had him on a few days ago, okay? And I know you know who he is. And I asked him this question. I said, Richard, have you ever breathed helium? And I guarantee you, nobody's ever asked him that. And his answer was, yeah. I mean, yeah. And he said, Frank, it scared me to death. I thought it might stick that way. You know how when you're young, your mom says, hey, don't cross your eyes, they'll stick that way? He said he thought maybe that helium would make his voice. So here's what I want to talk to you about. I know this is going to be very weird. I'm a wristwatch guy. And years ago, for quite a while, you wore a gold, I'm going to guess, Rolex with a blue face. Am I correct?
Yep.
Okay. Recently, you don't have that watch anymore. I've seen you with a black watch with yellow numbers, and more recently, say it isn't so, an Apple watch.
I've got it right now
on
my wrist.
Oh.
It will do 492,000 different things. And so far, I've figured out how that about every other time when I raise my arm up, it'll tell me what time it is. And sometimes I don't raise my arm high enough. Let's see, I can try it. Oh, it's 3:29. It works.
I know, but I hated to see it because I enjoyed watching, especially the. And because of you, for years, my goal was to get a gold Rolex with a blue face. I never got it, but I got it out of my system.
I have given that watch. I am a watch freak too. I have a whole box full of them, and I do like watches. I don't buy real expensive watches anymore. That's crazy. If I'd have put what I paid for that Rolex 35 years ago, you know, the rule of 10 tells you that at 7% interest every 10 years, your money would double.
Yeah.
That watch would have made me over $300,000 in the last 35 years. So that gives you real time on your hands right there, at least time on your wrist. I gave that watch last Christmas to my son, Joshua Cass Gatlin. He had a white, big white something or other on his left wrist, chronometer that was good for 20,000 leagues beneath the sea.
Right, right.
So I just thought it was time to trade. And he has a new son, my grandson, Cash Caldwell Gatlin. And someday I hope he, passes it down to him.
All right. Since you mentioned Cash, let me explain this to people before I get to the song. You were very close to Johnny Cash and his wife, June, and you recorded a song that had anybody else recorded this, Larry, it would have been considered disrespectful. People would have said, what in this world does he think he's doing? That man is dead. The song is Johnny Cash's House Burned Down. Johnny Cash is dead and his house burnt down. Johnny Cash died, and this is hard for me to even believe. He died 15 years ago. In 03, his house burned down in 07. Now, for those of you listening who don't know this story, it's a great story. At the time the house burned down, it was owned by Barry Gibb of the Bee Gees, who was going to remodel it with his wife, but he didn't get a chance to because it burned down. So Larry here writes a song, a great song. Johnny Cash is dead and his house burned down. And had anybody else done that, we might have never heard from them again in the business. They would have been kicked out of the country music, whatever. But Larry, the way you did it, especially in performance when you set the story up by explaining your relationship with Johnny Cash, it was brilliant. And it's on my phone right now. I play it at least twice a week. I love that song.
Well, thanks. I wish Toby Keith would record it, and Trace Atkins. I think if people would really look at it and really listen to it, they'd know I meant it as a passing of the torch to the new. I said I got nothing against the young country stars, but I could use
more fiddles and steel guitars.
But Johnny Cash, it's the passing of the torch and the transition from what we now know or have called traditional country music. Frank, I'm rooting for everybody. I want the young kids for their dreams to come true. Most of mine came true. My dreams that didn't come true were somebody else's dreams. I was just borrowing them for a while. So I thought it might be a hit record, but the brothers and I can't really get on radio anymore. They're not going to play 70-year-old guy songs. They're just not going to do it.
Well, Larry, they will. When I get back on country radio, they will. I'm in a talk station now, and here's my promise to you, and I'm hoping my last stop in radio is back on country music. But the only way that I will make a deal with a country station is they have to let me do a show, and the music I'm going to play on my show is the music you and your brothers put out, Tanya puts out, Oaks put out, Alan Jackson, George Strait, Merle, Garth, and on and on and on and on. Sadly, in local country radio, you can't hear it. You got to go to satellite radio to hear it. Now, you said something just now. You wish Toby Keith had recorded that song. I'm gonna tell you right now, I don't think anybody should have recorded it but you. I don't think not only would it not be a hit by them, I don't think it'd play well because, again, they wouldn't understand it and they'd take it the wrong way. Now, you have written most of the songs that you've had as hits.
All
of them. Interestingly, I don't hear them covered by other people, and I'm going to tell you why. I think that's true. I don't want to hear it by other people, but when you wrote them, did you write them with the idea in mind, only my brothers and I are going to record these and they're going to be hits, or were you hoping someone else would record them?
Well, every songwriter wants other artists to record them. I wrote, when it came time every year to do an album, I write songs constantly. They lyrics, I think in rhymes. I think in iambic pentameter. I just always have. Not always, but for the last 30 or 40 years since I've been a professional songwriter. It's very hard for me to stop my brain at night. And so I write songs. That's what I do. Then back even when we were recording a new album every year, that was my number one job, my number one calling, as it were, to write songs for Larry Gatlin and the Gatlin Brothers to sing. But it's always nice, you want people to pat your kids or your grandkids on the head and say, aren't they sweet and aren't they beautiful? So that's what happens when somebody else records your song. I've had people that always use that old excuse. Well, if you've already done it, we can't do it as well as you do. Or they'd say, well, if it was that good, was it just an album cut? Or, if I didn't record it, they'd say, well, why didn't you record it? I very rarely have people, very rarely, have other artists call and want me or the brothers to sing on their albums. That's a big deal. A lot of people do it.
Yeah.
We just don't have people do it. And I had a good friend of mine said, man, he said, I love you. Said, you're one of my favorite singers. But he said, but if you sing on the first verse and I have to sing the second verse, he said, that's pretty hard to do.
Well, they don't want to come in second place, and that's a great compliment to you.
I took it as a compliment.
It is.
But I'm not in competition with anybody. I like a lot of singers, and some of them I don't like. But
let me give you an example of why it just doesn't work in most cases for somebody to try to do what you wrote, except you and or your brothers. I know that Gene Watson recorded Help Me, and I've heard it, and it's good. But it's not as good as when you and your brothers do it. It's just not. It's just not. Well, and I don't hear anybody else in my head who could pull off the songs that you've made hits even close to as well as you guys do. I just don't.
Well, see, here's the thing about And on one level, I really appreciate that. And on the other level, I'm going to take my friend Watson's part in saying, like you say, he interpreted it his way. Right. Here's the thing. If Tiger Woods puts the golf ball in the hole the fewest amount of times, mm-hmm. he gets the trophy, he gets the money, and he has the biggest house. Because that is an objective endeavor. It has certain rules and parameters, and it's objective. Our deal is subjective. Those Gene Watson fans out there would say, well, Frank is frankly crazy because Gene sang it a lot better. So that's what kind of makes our world go around. It's a subjective endeavor. There's room for everybody. I personally don't think about half of them should have a recording contract. A lot of them, it just kind of sounds like somebody took a chainsaw to a cat's rear. But again, that's an objective endeavor, objective observation, and I'm rooting for everybody. I want their dreams to come true. But that's just our business.
All right, my 15 minutes, which I put myself at about that limit. You didn't, and I want people. By the way, your publicist Kay, one of the nicest people I've ever spoken to. What a wonderful! Oh my goodness! I'm going to meet her one day if she's anything like she sounds. She's terrific. You have a song that you have said you're disappointed didn't do better than it did because you love the song, and I like it too. And it's the bitter they are, the harder they fall. Now I'm going to tell you, and this is just a layman's perspective, and this is not in any way meant to come off wrong. I'll tell you why. To me, the song isn't everything it could be. Not that you can't carry a song by yourself, you certainly can, but your brothers are not on that song. At least not the recording I know. Why is that?
Well, they were still in college at Texas Tech University when I recorded that first album.
Okay.
So we knew we wanted to get back together, you know, like we had when we were kids. But it just wasn't part of the deal at that time. I mean, it went to number 9 or 10. Elvis recorded. Gene Watson recorded.
Nothing wrong with that. 9 or 10.
It didn't do bad, but I sing it every night.
Here's how we're going to wrap this up. I'm going to tell you my two favorites. Okay? Well, three favorites. No, I'll make it two. Help Me is one, and that's a song you sang at June Carter Cash's funeral, correct?
Right, and at John's funeral.
You know, I didn't know you sang it at his funeral, too, but I know he had asked you to sing it at June. And the other one for me is What Are We Doing Lonesome? For whatever reason, I love that song. And I'm going to tell you
Are
something.
Are you the one that bought that?
Yes. I am the one that bought it. I'm really looking forward to Saturday night. I will tell you that having, by choice, decided not to do this for the past 25 years, but when I got the call and asked if I'd be interested, when I heard who was going to be on the show, I said, you know what? Yes, I will do this, and I'm looking forward to it. I'll be a nervous wreck, but I'm still looking forward to it. And I know you must like Missouri because a couple of weeks ago, you were here at a winery at Lake of the Ozarks because I was right down the road. I've seen you at a casino or two here. I know you come to Missouri regularly, Branson, for example. So you must like Missouri. Missouri likes you. And I am really looking forward to Saturday night.
Well, I appreciate it. We do love. I thought they would pronounce it Missouri.
No, well, the people do who don't know how to pronounce it that way.
Okay, I thought that was Missourians who did that. But you know, we love the Oak Ridge Boys, Dwayne Allen, and all the boys, Richard and William Lee, of course, and Joe. We've been friends for 50 years. Tanya, wonderful friend of ours, great performer. So it will be nice to get to hear them sing.
It'll be a fun night. It'll be a fun night. It's going to be three great shows in one show at the Family Arena, 7 o'clock. Folks, if you want to go, and I hope you do, there are tickets, sadly, still available. And I say sadly because there shouldn't be. This thing should have been sold out in a week. But there are some tickets, and I hope you'll scarf them up and join us Saturday night at the Family Arena. Larry, it's been a pleasure, and I love what you do. I love what you stand for, and I look forward to Saturday night.
Looking forward to seeing you, Franco.
All right, Larry. Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Larry Gatlin, you cannot hit superstardom in country music harder than he and his brothers hit it. They've done it all. They've and I didn't realize, I knew most of the songs that he recorded that were hits, he wrote all of them. He said he wrote every one of them. And the stories that he tells behind them are great. The song Help Me is a cry out to God for help, because he says that when he hit bottom, he'd gotten into cocaine, and he found himself down on the floor sniffing the carpet because he thought he might have spilled a little in the carpet, and what he saw was just white lint. And when he stood up and looked in the mirror and realized he'd just been sniffing lint out of the carpet, he realized, I'm a mess, and I got to fix this. And he did. He fixed it well. He sounds great. You'll see. You'll see Saturday night. Are we going to take a break? I think we do. First Community Credit Union. All the gold in California is in the bank in the middle of Beverly Hills in somebody else's name. All the gold in Missouri is not. Some of it is in First Community Credit Union. I got a couple of gold coins in a safe deposit box. See, that's why I know all the gold is not somewhere else. First Community Credit Union is where I do all of my banking. I can't make you change where you bank, because to most people, that's just not top of any priority list. But I'm just going to ask you to consider, because it's not hard to do. You just go to your bank and go, I'm closing my accounts. You reopen First Community Credit Union. I'm asking you to consider that. If you do, you'll be glad you did. If you tell them your AM and the PM, we'll be glad you did. Everybody's happy. That's it. It's not a big thing to ask, and I think when you do it, you're going to be glad. We could start, if you want, with car rates, which are always competitive. We could start with the home equity loan, which is 2.99 APR for 12 months. So that's your rate for the first year. You take that money and you use it to do whatever you want to do to make your house better for the holidays. Add on, add to, upgrade, whatever. The rates are great. Other people can't touch them. They're scratching their heads. How does First Community do this? I don't know either, but they do. And I think you'll be very glad when you become one of us and you become a member of First Community Credit Union. Over 40 locations in the St. Louis area. FirstCommunity.com.
And we're going to get a check on traffic with Tory Lyons.
Traffic sponsored by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. You have an accident southbound 270 north of 55, slowing westbound 64 at Hampton, again at Spady. Westbound 44 delays Arsenal to Shrewsbury. Lane restrictions northbound Lindbergh at Lynn Haven, and an accident on Dunn at Newhall's Ferry. Ready for a bad cold and flu season? Knowing when it's the flu can make a big difference in knowing when to call your doctor. The best way to tell is the flu brings a fever, so be prepared with a thermometer you can trust. The Exergen Temporal Scanner, backed by more than 70 clinical studies. I'm Tori Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
Hey, St. Louis, Dan McLaughlin here. Big things are happening at Schnucks, especially in October. This month, you'll start to see Schnucks stores popping up all over the city. Living in St. Louis, you know Schnucks is committed to the communities they serve. Now, there will be 19 new Schnucks stores in neighborhoods all around town. You'll also notice that prices are falling, and your points will be piling up with the Schnucks Rewards app. So check out a new store near you. Come say hello. Visit Schnucks.com for the full list of new stores. See you at Schnucks.
Hi, this is Tim Woodburn. I'm celebrating 10 years of being a private investigator with a new book called Bad Mood, Good Mood. 50 true and hilarious stories from the field of being a PI and a sports broadcaster. If you want to turn your bad mood into a good mood, this is the book for you. Check it out online at badmoodgoodmood.com. If you like stories that will have you shaking your head with a belly full of laughter and doubt that crazy and weird people really exist in the world, I'll be happy to change your mind. It's available both softbound and e-version, and it's only available at badmoodgoodmood.com.
At the Gatesworth, you set the standard for exceptional senior living. Their warm residential setting and commitment to personalized service ensure that each resident has what they need, when they need it, and the way they like it. Start with the active routine, relax, and savor each moment. Visit the Gatesworth on Facebook or schedule a personal tour on thegatesworth.com and see for yourself how the Gatesworth does senior living your way.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly. If you've closed a loan with the Home Loan Expert team, you already know that we're the only place you call whether you're looking to refinance or buy a home. And if you haven't, you need to call us today and find out what all your friends and family are talking about. Lower rates, customized loan programs, and customer service that no one can match. We are excited to bring you the Home Loan Expert 5-Minute Loan Approval. 5-Minute Loan Approval is at thehomeloanexpert.com.
The Home Loan Expert LLC, NMLS number 1326241.
Rosalita's Cantina is St. Louis's go-to Tex-Mex, now with a new DePair location. Stop in with coworkers or clients Monday through Friday from 11 to 4 and enjoy a delicious lunch combo. Choose from 14 flavor-filled entrees, all served with rice, refried beans, and a soda. Or order the tableside guacamole and enjoy the show as your server makes fresh guacamole from scratch just for you. Visit Rosalita's Cantina at two convenient locations, 1235 Washington Avenue downtown or 12796 Manchester, just west of 270. Rosalita's Cantina, Tex-Mex. Done right.
Well, Johnny Cash is dead and his house burned down, down, down. There's a whole lot of weeping and wailing in Nashville town. Well, the man in black ain't coming back, and wailing ain't gonna come around. Johnny Cash is dead and his house burned down. Chet Atkins and Marty Robbins ain't here to play, sing and play. Miss Patsy Cline was a one of a kind, Lord knows, oh, by the way. I got nothing against the young country stars, but I could use more fiddles and steel guitars. Cause Johnny Cash is dead and his house burned down.
Larry Gatlin of the Gatlin Brothers. Johnny Cash is dead and his house burned down. I understand that there are people who can't stand country music, and I'm okay with that because I have to give them that choice. In the same way, I expect people to understand how much I can't stand rap music or hip-hop music. Same thing. I've given it a chance. I don't know that a lot of people say, oh, I hate country music. I don't know that they've given it a chance, though, because if you listen to, say, a dozen great country hits, you get caught up in the stories, in the lyrics. I don't get caught up in the lyrics of hip-hop or rap because I can't understand them. And then when I do understand them, it's full of bitches and N-words and F this and F that. No, not my kind of music. And the people that make fun of country music, okay, if you don't like the sound of a steel guitar or a fiddle, you're out because they're full of that. If you don't like songs about my woman left me, my heart's broken, I'm here at the bar, one more drink, one more dance. Okay, full of that too. But it's full of life. Songs about life and what people have to go through. And you can say, oh, well, Frank, it's the same thing as rap music. That's about what these kids feel like they've gone through. Nah, no, son, not exactly the same thing at all. Not to me. So I get it. You're free to not care about it. For those of you who do and miss what I consider to be the best country music ever, I will see you Saturday night at the Family Arena at 7 o'clock. Doors open at 6. Do we need to take a call? I didn't ask for any calls, but Jim here is calling, so let's take his call, and we'll get to the Burke segment. Jim, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm fine, Frank. This is Jim from Daphne, Alabama, calling again.
Hello, Jim.
I got a kind of interesting Larry Gatlin story for you.
Okay.
Years ago, I was watching the Cotton Bowl, and I think it was 1978, with my, them was my father-in-law, and in St. Louis. And he was a crotchety old son of a bee, and he was a music teacher, a musician, and a professional singer. And he was a real voice snob. And the Cotton Bowl came on, and they announced that the national anthem, which is probably the world's hardest song to sing, was going to be sung by country star Larry Gatlin.
Okay.
And he said, country star, can't they do better than that? And it wasn't the Gatlin brothers, it was just Larry.
Yeah.
And he sang that song. And when he was done, this crotchety old fart had tears in his eyes. And he said, well, I guess he ain't too g-damn bad after all.
And so sometimes that's what it takes, though. It just takes one song to get you.
And when it's a song like that, you can't hide a bad voice.
No.
And with a lot of these guys, especially country groups, you don't really ever realize how good some of these are because they're lost singing with a group. You can't tell.
Well, the singing with a group.
When Diana Ross was at the Supremes, you didn't know how good she was.
No, but not only are they singing with a group, sometimes they get lost, but even the solo artists now have the benefit of technology. There's equipment that will keep you on key. Dan, am I not right?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
And Richard Sturman said something when we talked to him about that. He said, you know, today, if you're off key, they can fix it in the studio. Right. They couldn't do that back then.
No.
You're either good or you're not good. We're not fixing anything. Get back and do it again on key.
And he was singing live in the Cotton Bowl.
Which is all in itself hard.
Crappy weather. And
crappy acoustics.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable performance. If you get a chance to talk to him, tell him he brought tears to the eyes of Cliff Fiddick because the voice snob from St. Louis.
Okay, a guy who did not expect to like his rendition of the national anthem.
Jesus, hell no, he didn't. Okay.
Jim, right. we always appreciate that you're listening down in Alabama. Thank you.
Yeah, we just missed that dang hurricane. I'll tell you, I'm glad it went 100 miles east of me.
We're glad, too. Thank you, Jim.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're global.
Look at that.
Global. Almost out of time, but not quite. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do have something to say.
Look at that.
Wow, he jumped right in there, right off the bat. I do, too.
Trevor Limestone, Limey Phillips, it's all yours.
I'll keep it quick.
You're welcome.
Two things. One, make sure that the people out there, thank you, that you always keep an eye on your financial records and stuff like that, because this morning when I woke up, I had about 3 emails and 4 texts from Bank of America telling me that some fraudulent purchases had been used on my account. So I checked, and there were like $400 worth of charges charged to Uber, the ride-hailing service.
Whoa.
And this was all done last night at like midnight or something like that. $400, like that's ridiculous. So I got my money back.
$400 just in Uber?
Yeah, just in Uber.
Whew.
I mean, like
somebody
that doesn't even make sense.
Somebody was going a lot of places.
No kidding. But they were all like the same numbers. You know, there was a couple of
What happens to the poor Uber guy, though? Because your bank mm-hmm. will not charge you for that.
Nope.
So does the Uber guy, is he just SOL?
Nope. Yeah, he's just SOL.
Well, wow.
I
don't know if the Uber guy is SOL or if the bank is SOL because...
Yeah, does the bank eat it or does he get
the bank
I don't know, but I'm...
If they paid it.
I don't know, but I didn't use it, so I'm getting my money back. If it is up to the Uber driver,
you know what
sucks
I think?
I think
the bank has to eat that.
Yeah,
I do.
If it is the bank, then sucks to be them too. So that was the first one. Keep an eye on your financial stuff. The second one, I finally got to have the first bonfire of the season yesterday, and it was great.
Where'd you have it?
Down in Jefferson County at my friend's place, and
it was
beautiful.
Did he live out on some property?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, some nice bit of land.
No, they had it at the park. You Quick Trip.
You say the first of the season. What do you have a lot of bonfires?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, when it gets down to winter and fall, when it gets cold out there, you know.
You go out there and do it?
Yeah, have some bonfires.
Well, who is this friend of yours? What does he do? Do you have a farm?
It's a she, and she is actually the mother of my friend. But, like, you know, we're all friends, so.
Well. How old is your friend who she's the mother of?
She is 27, going to be 28 in March, and the mother is, I'm not answering that question because I'm not sure.
40s, 50s?
early 40s, I want to say, because I know she's probably going to be listening at
some
point.
Have you guys had a threesome?
No, we... Oh, Jesus.
Well, that's a legitimate question.
That is not a legitimate question.
With his friend and his
if
mother?
She's good,
yeah, right.
Come on, Frank.
Friend and the friend's mother, if she's hot, maybe the mom is...
There was no...
Did you say, no, she's not hot? Now she's listening. You're in
now
big
I'm
trouble.
Now I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
No, there was no threesome. I've had sex with nobody from that friends group, so thank you.
So they're strictly friends?
Just friends, and it was really
nice. I don't believe it, and I'll tell you why you're saying that, because mom is listening, so you're not going to admit you had sex with her daughter.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
Am I right?
Oh, my. No, you are not right. I have not had sex with her.
Is her last name McDonald?
I get it. Farm reference.
Limey was walking in today, and he said, oh, McDonald had a question mark. LGBTQIAEIEIO.
Oh, McDonald had a farm, and I had sex with a mother and daughter. So either that, or here's the story.
Wow.
You're having sex with mom, and you know the daughter's listening, and you don't want her to know that. Or both.
I regret.
If it's both, that's all I got.
I'm not having sex with anybody.
Okay.
We're good.
Okay, but there'll be other bonfires.
There will be other bonfires.
That's the A in LGBTQIAA. Asexual.
Mm. Yeah. Now, listen, do you cook hot dogs or marshmallows, or you just sit around the fire?
Normally, we just sit around the fire and drink. There was about a couple more showed up. But, yeah, normally we just sit around and drink, or sometimes we'll make s'mores. But typically, it's
I think it sounds great. And this is
drinking.
Perfect weather for it.
It is. It's the best time for a fire.
Especially like Friday night, Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Chilly. Good for you.
It's wonderful.
Mm. How long a drive is that for you?
About 30 minutes, if that.
That's nothing. Worth a trip. Anything else?
Nope. That's
anybody
all
else for the birthday?
I do. I have something.
Dan Strauss, everybody. Dan's all yours.
Thanks so much, Frank.
You're welcome.
We went to see A Star Is Born.
Good story. Thank you. Thank you. There's more.
We agree with you, actually.
Thank you. It's not the greatest movie ever made.
Not at all.
Thank you.
And
it's okay.
Actually, too long.
I agree.
I think it's way too long.
I agree. I still can't get over. They're on somebody's A-list. These two, because they've overblown how great this movie is.
Yeah.
It's a good movie, like a lot of movies. It's not. Great.
It is a good movie, and you could have cut probably 20 to 30 minutes out of it.
And it would have still been the same movie.
Yeah, it would have been the same movie.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
I agree.
That's all I have.
Tim, anything?
Yes, sir.
All right. Tim Woodburn, everybody.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I brought my book in today that I have dedicated to the members of this show, and I have a personal note to each one of you on this show.
Buddy.
This first one is to Dan Strauss. I'm going to read them if you don't mind. I'm going to say
you mind at all.
So the bad mood, good mood to Dan Strauss. It says to Dan Strauss, keep in mind the book's a 50-chapter book, may your next 50 trips to the toilet be filled with laughter.
That's good. I hope he didn't get the funniest one.
Nice one.
This one goes to Trevor Phillips. Thank you for producing the audio version of this book. If it goes worldwide, maybe you can voice it in British language.
Whoa.
I will happily do so, I don't speak British. Happily.
This one's for Bill Cleveland. He's not here, but I'll go ahead and read you his passage. I said, to Bill Cleveland, please tell all four of your groupies to buy my book.
Good.
And the last one is to Frank O'Pinion. Thank you for letting me tell some of these stories on the air. Maybe we could collaborate on writing a book of your funny stories someday. Tim Woodburn, P.S. I tried kissing myself in the mirror the other day. It was better than I thought it would be.
That's very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, we're going to close the Burke segment, and I'll tell you something. Tim just reminded me of when he said speaking British.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe he said this. Last night, I'm watching an interview with Britney Spears.
Okay.
Now, the reason is I'm on YouTube, and one thing links to another thing, which links. So I see, and I thought, well, I don't know anything about Britney Spears. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know she was still out there. Mm-hmm. So I watch an interview. The interviewer says, wasn't your grandmother British? And I'm not making this up. And she says, oh, yes. And she spoke British. And I thought, you dumb blonde. You absolutely stupid blonde. And the interviewer looked stunned. And he said, spoke British. She says, oh, yes. She spoke British. And I kept waiting for him to say, hey, you dumb blonde. She spoke English with a British accent. Honest to goodness, when he just said that, I thought, well, this is too bizarre. Because that's the only interview I've ever watched with Britney Spears. And she said that and probably regrets it now. Don't go anywhere. Our new tech guy, and it's official, he's actually been hired to come in here every Monday and talk a little tech talk. Josh Bauman will be here next hour to tell us stuff and answer tech questions. We'll give you the numbers after we come out of the news with Tim Woodburn. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Charlie Marlowe. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, and 590thefan.com St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. There are reports that Saudi Arabia will admit their actions led to the death of Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi. CNN reports that the Saudis are prepared to say that they intended to abduct and transport Khashoggi to his native Saudi Arabia, but he was killed in a botched interrogation. Khashoggi, a critic of the Saudi government, disappeared after he entered the Saudi consulate in